Rishus Abimori, Rishus Morek Ragosai. The topic of this year is actually still a work in progress. It's a topic that once piqued my curiosity, and that led to a year or two, and that led to an article, which led to another article and another article, and somehow it ended up in the Sefer, but the final chapter is yet to be written. We all know the centrality of the mitzvah of Shabbos to Tariag mitzvos. If you just look on the first page, you see the number of times that the mitzvah of Shabbos appears in the Torah. We'll have, of course, the Aseres HaDibros coming up in Parshas Yisro. From there, we have another reference in Mishpatim, another reference in Kisisa, further reference in Kisisa, Parshas Vayakel, Parshas Kedoshim, Parshas Emor, twice, Parshas Bahar, Parshas Shilach, Parshas Pinchas, and again Parshas Veschana. And this is all beginning with Yisro, which is Matan Torah. The topic that we're going to explore today together is the relationship between the mitzvah of Shabbos at Matan Torah, when we of course received all of the mitzvos, and the Aseres HaDibros of course includes the mitzvah of Shabbos, and the references that we find to the mitzvah of Shabbos prior to Matan Torah. Indeed, yesterday we read Parshas Beshalach, and we all know the story the Torah tells us of the man. The man began to fall, and on Friday the man fell a double portion. And as the Torah describes what unfolded, the Bnei Yisrael were introduced to the mitzvah of Shabbos. They were told that they're not to go out and collect man on Shabbos. Instead, they have the extra portion of man that would be left over for Shabbos. And it says in the pasuk here, in reference 15 here, Vayishpisu ha'am bayom hashvi, the people rested. They were told not to go out, and they rested on Shabbos. So we already have a mitzvah of Shabbos that was introduced prior to Matan Torah. Even before the parsha of the month, we also are taught by Chazal that the mitzvah of Shabbos was already given to Bnei Yisrael at an earlier stage. In reference 16, we find that right after Kriyas Yam Suf, after the splitting of the sea, the Bnei Yisrael traveled for 3 days and they found no water. They came to a place called Marah. And the water was bitter, they couldn't drink it, they complained about, what are we going to drink? Torah tells us that Moshe cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem showed him how to sweeten the water. Then we have 5 words. Sham sam lo chok u'mishpat. There in Marah, he gave him chok u'mishpat, laws, ordinances. So Rashi tells us there what kind of laws, what does this refer to? A selection of portions of the Torah that they should be involved with. In that list you have Shabbos. Shabbos, Paraduma, Dinim. There's some discussion about Paraduma here, exactly where do we know this, but we'll leave that on the side. Meanwhile, we have Shabbos that was given in Marah. How do we know Shabbos was given in Marah? It doesn't say the word Shabbos in the pasuk, so there's really 2 ways to know this. One is the opinion in the Mechilta that Rav Yehoshua says chok. The word chok is a reference to Shabbos. Shabbos is seen as a chok. Perhaps it means because there's 6 days that you can work and the seventh day you can't. There's something about a structure to that. Also, chok has a connotation of parnasa. Shabbos is a source of parnasa. In any event, chok is a reference to Shabbos. Then there's another way that we know that Shabbos was given in Marah, because we find in Parshas Dvarim, in Parshas Veschana, Sefer Dvarim, where the Torah introduces the mitzvah of Shabbos and the Aseres HaDibros the second time, and it says, if you go back to the earlier page, you'll see the pasuk says in source 13, Shamor Shom Shabbos U'Kadsho Kasher Tzivcho Hashem Elokecha. You should observe Shabbos as Hashem has commanded you. What does that mean? Of course Hashem has commanded you. So what does the Torah add? Ka'asher tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. So Rashi tells us, based on the Gemara, this is now source 19, Ka'asher tzivcha, as Hashem has already previously commanded you, we are in Marah. This is what the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, and Shabbos as well, that Jews were commanded in Marah in 10 mitzvos, that includes the 7 of Bnei Noach that already we know existed. And in addition to that, you have Dinim, Shabbos, and Kibbutz Av Va'em. dinim, because of the pasuk chok u'mishpat, Shabbos and kibbut ave'im, because you have the kasher sivcha Hashem Elokecha. It says that not just for Shabbos, but also by kibbut ave'im. Kabeid asavicha ve'es imecha, kasher sivcha Hashem Elokecha. How do we explain kasher sivcha? As Hashem has already previously commanded you in Mara. So we have here an indication that already in Mara, the Jews were commanded in the midst of Shabbos. Of course, one can ask the question, which Tosus raises in the Gemara Shabbos, that maybe Kasher Sivcha Hashem Elokecha doesn't have to go back as far as Mara, since we saw that already by the Man of Bnei Yisrael were taught about Shabbos. Maybe Kasher Sivcha means, as I've commanded you by the Man, in the place where the Man began to fall, that's where I commanded you about Shabbos. So Tosus points out that when it comes to Kibbut Ave'im, you can't say that, because there's no reference by the Man to Kibbut Ave'im, so it's got to go back to another point. So we might as well go back to Mara. So probably for Shabbos as well, the commandment, the Kasher Sivcha, that the Torah is referring to, goes back to Mara. So therefore, we have an interesting thing. We have Shabbos of Matan Torah, we have Shabbos by the Man, and we have Shabbos back in Mara. And so the question really is, what's the relationship between Shabbos at these various stages? Clearly there must have been some evolution in this mitzvah. What the Bnei Yisrael received at Mara was not exactly the same thing that they got in Olush. Olush is the place where the Man began to fall, and certainly at Sinai something more must have been introduced with regard to this mitzvah of Shabbos. To make the question maybe a little more interesting, we all say in the Haggadah, there's a whole list of things that we say in Dayenu, Ma'alos Tovos, Hashem, you did so much for us, you brought us up to one level after another, and so what do we say there when we go through the steps? We say, I think it's the 10th one, Igu hachilanu es haman, v'lo nasan lanu es ha-shabbos dayen. If you had given us the man and not given us the man to eat and not given us the Shabbos, that would have been enough. And if you had given us the Shabbos and brought us the Ha-Sinai, that's enough. Clearly, we have a recognition of the fact that Shabbos preceded Har-Sinai. But it also seems to suggest that the man preceded Shabbos. So the question that many Mefarshim raise is, why do we say that the man preceded Shabbos? Didn't Shabbos precede the man? Because they already got Shabbos in Mara. So, what we're going to share now is just a small portion of what I try to deal with in the Sefer at length, and I try to present many, many different answers as collected from all different Mekoros and sources. But this is an interesting way to think about it. Shabbos is more than just a mitzvah. Shabbos is, of course, a symbol. Shabbos goes to the heart of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not just a mitzvah like other mitzvahs. It stands out. It's referred to as a sign. We are to rest just as Hashem rested. We identify with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the creator of the world. It goes to the heart of our relationship with Hashem. There's an interesting Gemara in Shabbos that talks about Shabbos as a gift. The pasuk says, and this is a pasuk in Kisisa, Ladas ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. I'm giving you the Shabbos, so you will know that I am Hashem who sanctifies you. So the Gemara tells us, Amalah Kadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe. Hashem told Moshe, Matana tova yesh li beveis genozai. I have a very special gift in my treasures, the Shabbos Shema. The name of this gift is Shabbos. I want to give this gift to my people. You have to tell them about it. You can't just throw a gift on somebody without letting them know that you have something special to give them. So Shabbos requires a special communication. Tell them about this special gift. So it's interesting. Here you have two individuals, very different in their perspectives and orientations, what they have in Torah, and yet they both are machaven to the same idea, although each one presents it in their own way. On the one hand, the Sfas Emes, on the other, the Briska Rav. Sfas Emes, a Chassidisha Rebbe, of course, but also Gaon Atzum, a Landin, and all. In the Sefer on Chumash, which is more the Chassidus, he raises a question. How can it be that the Torah gave Shabbos in Mara, and then Torah gave it again by the Man, and which came first, and what's the difference? And the Briska Rav, and how can we say in Dayenu that we mentioned the Man before Shabbos? Same question raised by the Briska Rav. And as we'll see, what they both say was already anticipated by the Sfarnu in Chumash, which you don't have here, but I'll read for you. So let's look at the Sfas Emes in source 24. The common denominator here is Shabbos is a gift. What does it mean that Shabbos is a gift? And when did Shabbos become a gift? So the Sfas Emes and the Briska Rav both say Shabbos only became a gift when it was given with the money. When it was given in Mara, it wasn't a matana tova yet. It was a mitzvah, but not a gift. So what does it mean? Says the Sfas Emes, look in the, you guess, the second paragraph. Avo nire ki ata nitan lahem b'matana ha-Shabbos. Now, by the man, Shabbos is a gift. Kasha chachamim higidu matana tova yeshu beis genazah. U'b'china zu, this aspect, nasa asa, became now. Shamati mipimori v'skeni, my grandfather, as follows. B'maras hamatana. What is the qualification, the characteristic, most distinguishing characteristic of a gift? One of the halachos says, ha-nosim ba'ayin yofet nosim. If I sell you something, what I sell you is what it says in the contract. What about auxiliary things? What about, you know, you buy a product sometimes, right? So they'll tell you the cost is whatever, $19.99. Then by the time you finish the conversation, they'll tell you, oh, but there's this accessory and that accessory, and if you really want to use it, you're going to have to buy that as well. Before you know it, it's $99.99. A sale is basically a way of making money. So you basically, you really want to be able to access what you have, you're going to have to pay more than just the actual sale price. Somebody is giving a gift, they're not that way. A gift is an idea, a concept. I really care about you. I want you to have this. I want you to use it. I want it, you know, to be able to make the most of it. We can assume that somebody gives a gift is not just stingy, giving the actual product, but they're giving whatever it takes to be able to use the product and use it well. The example in the Gemara is somebody sells a pit you can use for storage in their field. So you're going to have that pit to use to keep your things. Okay, what if I get into the pit? You have to go over my land. You're going to trespass. So if I'm selling you the pit, so then, wait a second, the sale price I gave you is for the pit itself. Now you want the right to go through. That's another price. Now we're going to keep increasing the price, and then you get what you want. I'm giving you a gift. Then the assumption is that Hanosin Bor Lachavero gives him the derech, gives him the way to get there as well. Says the Sfas Emes. Why is that? Ki amocher, the second line, second paragraph, ki amocher daito rabba vor hamos. The seller is really interested in getting money. Hanosin, the one who gives him a gift, rotze sheyela mekabel matana, I want you to have it. Ukach nosin lo haderech. Therefore he gives him the path, kidei sheyuchal lekabel matana, so that you'll be able to have it. That's the meaning of the pasuk that we read yesterday by the man. Moshe says, "Ru'u ki Hashem nasan lachem hashabbos." Notice the expression used, "nasan." He gave it to you, and therefore, pasuk goes on. It says, "If you want to see the pasuk inside, this is source 15, right? Pasuk Chav Tes, same page. Ru'u ki Hashem nasan lachem hashabbos. Behold, recognize Hashem has given you the Shabbos." Therefore, he's giving you on Yom Shishi, on Friday, a double portion of man. Because Hashem has given you the Shabbos as a gift, he wants you to be able to maximize the gift. And therefore, he's giving you the derech, he's giving you the path. What's the path to maximize Shabbos, to experience the gift of Shabbos, to experience the closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that comes from Shabbos? It's Yom Shishi, it's the Erev Shabbos. Therefore, he's giving you two portions of man on Friday, which enables you to prepare from the two portions of man for tomorrow. The experience of the Hechinu, the preparation of Erev Shabbos to Shabbos, is what gives you the geshmak of Shabbos, gives you the feeling of Shabbos, and lets you understand that there's a gift to Shabbos. And I want you to have Shabbos in the ultimate way. And therefore, I'm giving you the Erev Shabbos because I want you to have Shabbos not just as a mitzvah, but as matana tova. And this is the meaning, therefore, of why in Dayenu says this lesson. We start with Hechilonos Haman, And only then do we say, Nasan lanu esa Shabbos. I'm not talking about having Shabbos as a mitzvah. That came already. But the gift of Shabbos didn't come until the month. That's the beautiful idea of the Sfasem. As I noted, the Biskar Rav in his own way says the same thing. Source 25. This is found in a couple of places in the Haggadah that they quote from the Biskar Rav and various personalities from Brisk. Says the Biskar Rav, the Nireh Bazeh, he says. The question is, of course, why the order of the Dayenu is as it is. Why did it say first the month and then Shabbos? Shabbos Tarti Isnubu. Shabbos has two things. First, Mitzvah Shabbos, meaning the Dinim, the Tivuyim of Shabbos, what you can do, what you can't do. And second, the Shabbos Nitna B'matana of Israel. Shabbos was a gift. And he quotes the Gemara that we saw before. And this is what we say in our Davin on Shabbos. V'lo nesato Hashem lo ya'rotzos. Ki Yisrael amcha nesato bi'ahava. You gave it with love. That is, besides the commandment to fulfill Shabbos is a gift. Says the Biskar Rav, in Mara they didn't have the gift of Shabbos. They had the tzivuyim, the halachos of Shabbos. But the gift of Shabbos didn't come till after the month, as the Pasuk says, the same Pasuk that Sfasem is quoted, Ru'u ki Hashem nasam lechem Shabbos. Now, it doesn't elaborate the Biskar Rav, he's basically giving you the basic concept, but he doesn't tell you what it really means. Sfasem has gave us a little bit of an understanding of Shabbos as a gift, the experience of Erev Shabbos. Biskar Rav means it very vague. Okay, there's two dinim, right? There's Shabbos as a mitzvah and Shabbos as a gift. But there's a comment of the Sfarim which really goes to the essence of this, and that's going to relate to the Midrashim that follow here on your sheets. The Sfarim on this very same pasuk, which you don't have, but you can certainly take a look at it afterwards, on the pasuk that we noted, Re'u ki Hashem nasam lachem ha-Shabbos. So I read you from the words of the Sfarno. Re'u hisboninu. Think about this. Reflect on this. Ki Hashem nasan lachem ha-Shabbos. Ve'ein zu mitzvah bilvad. It's not merely a mitzvah. Avol hi matana. It's a gift. Shelo nitno lezulaschem. Was not given to anyone but you. Ki amram zal, like the Gemara says, matana tovi yeshu v'yizkinazai v'shabbos shema v'nichavetz litna li'Yisrael. I want to give it to my people. This is what we have in our davening, exactly what the Biskar Rav quoted. Blonis Sato Hashem Okeinu Ugoi Harasos Vigam Ibnuchasa Vishkinu Arei. It was not given to the other nations, and they shall not rest, and those who are not circumcised, the non-Jewish world, cannot experience the Menucha of Shabbos. Ka'amru Vishamu Bnei Seus HaShabbos Lassus HaShabbos U'Dorosam V'hushi Asigu Yom Shekulu Shabbos. Shabbos, says the Sfarno, is a matana that was not given to anybody else. It was not given to the nations. There is an incredible Gemara, the Medrash and a Gemara. We'll focus on the Medrash that says that we all know that when it comes to mitzvahs in the Torah, if you're not commanded to do the mitzvah, so you don't get reward like you're commanded to do the mitzvah. But nevertheless, you're not precluded per se from the mitzvah. You just don't get special reward. You're called Eino Mitzvah Va'osa. So presumably, if you talk about a non-Jew, so they were not given, except for the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, they were not given anything beyond that. If they want to do a mitzvah from the Torah, then you could argue that they would get reward like in a mitzvah v'osa. Now, this is not a simple question. If a non-Jew takes a lulav on sukkahs, or sits in a sukkah, or hears shofar, do they get reward in a mitzvah v'osa? There's a lot of discussion about this. It's a language of the Rambam Hilchos Melachim that seems to suggest that there, in fact, is reward given to non-Jews for doing any mitzvah in the Torah. And then there's others that seem to say no, that the extent of it would be mitzvahs that are more bin adam lachavero, tzedakah, and the like, maybe have rashas truma. So there we could say that a non-Jew has a connection to mitzvahs like that. But a mitzvah like purely bin adam lamakom, in every respect, you can't say they'll even get reward like in a mitzvah of osa. Even if you'll say that, there's nothing wrong per se. You're not going to necessarily assume that it comes sukkahs, and a non-Jew says it sounds like a nice thing to do, let me take a lulav and that shrug and shake it. So maybe they'll get reward, maybe they won't get reward. They're not commanded, but they're not prohibited either. But there is a mitzvah called Shabbos that apparently is forbidden for non-Jews. A non-Jew says, I want to keep Shabbos. Let's assume that means exactly the way the Jewish people observe Shabbos, and takes out his English code of Jewish law, whatever my Ribbiyev's book, and he goes through it cover to cover, 39 melachos. He says, okay, I know it all, now I want to observe it. And I'll ask you, should I do that? The whole community of Noahites, out in Texas, I think, and they have laws, and they want to, sometimes they ask Shabbos, so can we observe Shabbos? The answer is no, you may not observe Shabbos. Non-Jews should not observe the Shabbos. This is not just a hypothetical issue. It can come up, for example, with gerus. If you have a situation of a convert who hasn't yet gone through the whole process, for example, a male has mila, but if they haven't gone to the mikveh yet, they had the bris mila, but not the tevila, the halacha is not fully Jewish. What if at that stage in time, they're in the middle of their conversion, they're ready, they're going to become Jewish soon enough, but they haven't yet gone to the final leg of the process. So there's actually a big machlokas, haposkin, that a case like that. Could you say at that point they could keep Shabbos, or should we say no, you may not keep Shabbos until you're Jewish, because the halacha is a non-Jew can't keep Shabbos. But the concept is a halacha. You cannot have, a non-Jew cannot keep Shabbos. There's a lot to say about this philosophically, exactly why the Torah doesn't permit a non-Jew from keeping Shabbos. But from our perspective, it has to do with the fact that Shabbos is a special gift which reflects a special relationship, or better put, not just a special relationship, an exclusive relationship. We have an exclusive relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Shabbos represents that exclusive relationship. So for a non-Jew to observe Shabbos would almost infringe on that message, on that special relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the message that comes through from various midrashim. So for example, here you'll see 26 and 27 on your sheets, Shmos Rabba, Dvarim Rabba, and actually they connect it to the pasuk that we've been talking about. Ru'u ki Hashem nasan lachem ha-Shabbos. So what's the lachem? Hashem has given you the Shabbos. Says the Medrash here, Shmos Rabba, lachem nitna v'lo avdi kachavi. Shabbos has been given to you and not to Gentiles. Mikan amru, and here they said, and yavo me avdi kachavi v'yishmu es Shabbos, lo daya mishim mekabim schar. Not only should we not get reward, it's actually a big problem. The language of the Medrash and the Gemara, Goyish Shavas Chayev Misa. It's a capital crime, capital punishment. Now, I should point this out because we should realize that, first of all, we don't have Beis Din, Batei Dinim that carry these things out. But even more than that, even if we had a Beis Din, the Rambam says explicitly, just because the Lashon is Chayev Misa doesn't mean that a Beis Din should actually act on it. And specifically with Shabbos, the Rambam says that what it means is that we tell the non-Jew what you're doing is tantamount to a capital crime. That's the extent of it. It's not that Beis Din, it's not actionable, it's not something Beis Din should actually carry out. It's simply letting him know the gravity of the transgression. It's something that's worthy of the death penalty. So even in practice, it wasn't something that would actually be actually enforced. But the Rambam says what it means is, Chayav Misa, it's a very terrible thing. You find in other Chazal as well sometimes, this thing is considered Chayav Misa. Chayav Misa just means it's a terrible thing to do. So it's certainly a serious matter for a non-Jew to keep Shabbos. And you have the Medrash in Dvarim Rabba as well, that emphasizes that he hasn't gone through the Mila yet, which seems to indicate that once he's got a Mila, maybe it would be better. That's one of the sources used in that big discussion about a non-Jew who's gone through the Mila and not yet the Tevila. So according to what we're saying here, if you put together the Svasemes and the Bistarav and the Sfarno, we would perhaps suggest the following. Shabbos represents an exclusive relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that didn't come in Mara. Mara, there's a mitzvah of Shabbos, but at that point in time, a non-Jew would want to keep Shabbos. So, fine, no problem. In a mitzvah osa, we'll get reward. Comes Shabbos by the man, Shabbos becomes lachem, Shabbos becomes a matana tova, Shabbos represents our relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, it's not for anybody else. But it's interesting that I stumbled on a commentary by the Rebbe of the Ramban, Rabbi Yehuda Rav Yakar, and he wrote a commentary to Siddur. And he explains many times in his commentary that something we say in our davening, in our kiddush, in our davening, time and time again, speaks to the notion of goy shabbos, a non-Jew should not keep Shabbos. The expression that he picks up on is nachala. We all know Shabbos is called a nachala. Wherever we go, you see it in davening and kiddush, hanchilenu Hashem Elokeinu, right? Hinchaltanu, hinchilanu. What really does it mean? Shabbos is an inheritance. Shabbos is a heritage. What does it mean exactly? So Rav Yehuda Rav Yochai says that nachala is something that's exclusive. If I have a heritage, if it's mine, then you can't have it. It's exclusively mine. It's something connecting me and that. It's a natural fit. And somehow for you to take it, it takes away the exclusive dimension of a nachala. Nachala means it's exclusively yours, it's not for anyone else. In other words, a non-Jew should not observe Shabbos. But then he takes it a step further and he says, when did this come into being? He says, he has a matana and there's a nachala. Matana is not the same thing as a nachala. What we said before, that a matana is exclusive, for him it's not yet there. To get it to be exclusive, it's got to be called a nachala. Says Rav Yehuda Rav Yochai, by the man, Shabbos was a matana. At a matana stage, a non-Jew could still keep Shabbos and get reward. When did Shabbos become what he calls a nachala? Not until after the Torah was given. And that's what we see in Parshas Kisisa, when the Torah describes Shabbos as a relationship between Hashem and Bnei Yisrael, the Shamu Bnei Yisrael as Shabbos, to guard the Shabbos, Lidoro, Sam, Ris Olam, an everlasting, eternal covenant. The notion of Nachala is eternal. It's not just temporary, it's for generations. That's when Shabbos became a Nachala. And so he says, he reads it into the davening. We say right after Baruch Hu on Shabbos, Lakel Melech Yotzer Kol, Shevech Kar Gelidnu Lakel Melech Yotzer Kol. Hashem, your creator of everything. But then it says, Hamancha Menucha L'Amu Yisrael, Yom Shabbos Kodesh. You give Shabbos as an inheritance to Bnei Yisrael on Shabbos. Says Rav Yehuda Rav Yochai here in 28, Mitchilo Hayamatana, Shabbos was first a gift. As the Pasuk says, Ruki Hashem Nasan L'Chem HaShabbos. Once Hashem says, B'Shom Bnei Yisrael HaShabbos, last Shabbos Be'osam Bris Olam, and so on, Ben Bnei Yisrael HaShabbos, once He says, B'Shomru, L'Dorosa Mitoch Kach, Goy Shishabbos Chayim Misa. Nobody can infringe on the inheritance of their neighbor. By Shar Mitzvos, it's not a nachala. No Jew can do it as well. And that's the meaning of the davening. We say B'Shamu Bnei Yisrael, and then we go into Hashmon Esrei and say B'Hanchilenu. So it's interesting. So here you have the concept itself that we saw before, but the question is chronologically, when did it set in? When did Shabbos become the ultimate exclusive relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Before Matan Torah or at Matan Torah? There's a fascinating comment of the Abid Ram. Abid Ram is quoted often, as you know, by the Beis Yosef, and he writes on Tefillah, on the Rishonim. Tur mentions him as well. And the Abid Ram wants to know, and others as well, ask this question, why, when it comes to Kiddush and Shabbos, do we begin differently than on Yontif? How does a Yontif Kiddush start? Baruch Atah Hashem Kein Melech Olam, Shebuach Harbanu Mikolam. We start by emphasizing the chosenness of Am Yisrael. How about Shabbos? Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvosa V'ratzavanu. You sanctified us, and you were pleased with us. We don't start at Shebuach Harbanu. If you go further in the Kiddush, we have a sentence, Kivanu Bacharta Yosanu Kidashta, which doesn't come until later on, which not everybody even says, Kivanu Bacharta later on. But in the beginning of the Kiddush, there's no reference yet to Bechira, to our being chosen. And Yontif, yes. Says the Abid Ram, the reason is because Shabbos preceded our being chosen. Mara, we were commanded on Shabbos. Sham Samuel Chokomish, but he goes with that source. The Adayim lo bochar b'hem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashinasen on the Torah. And yet Hashem hasn't chosen us until He gave us the Torah. However, when they were commanded on Yomim Tovim, Kfar Nasen lehem HaTorah, bochar b'hem kach, Einomim b'Shabbos v'shabochar b'an. Fascinating insight here. Abid Ram says Shabbos preceded Bechiras Yisrael, so we can't begin the Kiddush with a Shabochar b'an. Now there is an interesting question one can raise on this. Because he says, Yamim Tovim, Hashem didn't choose us, Hashem chose us before that. Is that true for all Yamim Tovim? Isn't there a yontif that came before Matan Torah? Pesach. And yet Pesach has the same Ashagoch Harbanu in the Kiddush as the other Yom Tov. So what does this suggest, maybe? Maybe there's a difference between what happened in Mara in terms of the nature of those, the mitzvah Shabbos in Mara, which wasn't yet a manifestation of being chosen, and maybe the mitzvah of Pesach, even though it technically came before Matan Torah, but you can see it as part of the process of Bechiras Yisrael. Maybe Mara wasn't quite that. What you also notice here in the Abudram is that apparently there's no difference between Mara and the Man. Basically, until Sinai, it wasn't considered yet a Bechira. One could say that it changed at the Man, but meanwhile, the first time Shabbos was given, it wasn't Ashabach Harban. It's not a contradiction to what we're saying, but he certainly doesn't acknowledge any difference between the two. The Maharal, in the Pirush Gur Aryeh on Chumash, deals with this issue, and he comes up with a fascinating way to describe the mitzvah Samara. This is broadening the issue, not just specifically about a non-Jew keeping Shabbos, but really what does it mean that you have a mitzvah to keep Shabbos, but you haven't yet been chosen as a nation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If you haven't been chosen, at least fully chosen, then what's the nature of the mitzvah? What's the status of the mitzvah? We all know that there are mitzvahs of B'nai Noach and there are mitzvahs of Yisrael. So if you're going to look at it in very concrete terms, one category is the mitzvah of B'nai Noach, one is mitzvah of Yisrael. What is the nature of a mitzvah that preceded Matan Torah? Is that a mitzvah like a Jew? Is it a mitzvah like B'nai Noach? What were we? And what is the nature of the mitzvah itself? So the Maharal makes the argument that the mitzvahs of Mara were classified as mitzvahs of B'nai Noach. And he says, I'll prove it to you, he says. It's not called Torah. Akarch of Tzorcha Talomash, Ein Eilu Mitzvahs Nechshavos Mimitzvahs HaTorah. Like Shev Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. And the Gemara lists from the 10 mitzvahs of Mara, it mentions 7 mitzvahs B'nai Noach. So that's certainly B'nai Noach mitzvahs. And apparently he views that as nothing more but just the mitzvahs that they had already been commanded as B'nai Noach, plus 3 mitzvahs that are along the same lines. He makes an argument why that should be. He says, because this we don't have time to delve into, but he says, you can't give Torah Sheba'al Peh before Torah Shebichsav. It doesn't work that way. First you get Torah Shebichsav and then Torah Sheba'al Peh. The mitzvahs of Mara are not explicit in the Chumash. The mitzvahs by the Man, it says so in the Chumash. You have to prepare on Friday, you have to cook on Friday for Shabbos, it's in the Chumash. Mara, it's very vague, it doesn't say the mitzvah. So it couldn't be a mitzvah of Torah yet. Wow, so what does it mean? The mitzvahs of Mara were mitzvahs of B'nai Noach. So there's a fascinating statement of the Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayos to Chulin with regard to the mitzvah of Gid HaNasha. The mitzvah of Gid HaNasha appears in Parshas VeYishlach. It says that you're not allowed to eat, the B'nai Yisrael are not allowed to eat the sciatic nerve, the Gid HaNasha, the hind part of the animal, in the wake of the story that Torah describes of Yaakov Avinu and the angel that he wrestled with. Now there's a question in the Mishnah in Chulin whether this Iser, Gid HaNasha, applies for Behema Tmeya, a non-kosher animal which you can't eat anyway. But if you eat the non-kosher animal and the Gid HaNasha included, do you violate as well the lav of Gid HaNasha? So one opinion in the Mishnah is that you actually violate Gid HaNasha. You know why? Because the mitzvah, the Isra of Gid HaNasha came before there was an Isra of Behema Tmeya. So the Torah must have forbidden any animal with Gid HaNasha. And the response given in the Mishnah by the Rabbanim is no. The Sinai Ne'amar El Shenichta Bin Komo. It was said from Sinai but written in its place in Vayishlach. The Rambam takes that line to mean the following. Says the Rambam, Sim libcho l'kla ha-gadu ha-nechal b'mishnah zos, v'hu mash amam mi-sinai nesa, tish'aka reisa l'das, sh'kom mash anu marchikim al-osim hayom, anything that we observe today, not to violate, what or something that we're going to do as a mitzvah, ein anu osim el b'mitzvah sa-kadosh baruch hu ad Moshe Rabbeinu. We perform it, we fulfill it, we observe it, based on Moshe having instructed us in HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a mitzvah from Sinai. Not based on Hashem having said it to Nevi'im that preceded Sinai. For example, we don't need Avraham Ben Achai. Why don't we eat Eiver Min HaChai? It's not because Hashem taught the mitzvah to Noach not to eat Eiver Min HaChai, and that's why it continues on that we don't eat Eiver Min HaChai based on the fact that it already was on the books a restriction of Eiver Min HaChai from the time of Noach. Rather, because Moshe Rabbeinu came and he pronounced the Isser of Menachai as an Isser of Torah, this is what binds us to this prohibition. So it says with Mila as well. Our Mila is not based on Avraham Avinu having been commanded to observe Mila, it's because Moshe Rabbeinu taught us the mitzvah of Mila. And so what we're perhaps seeing here is that what is the mitzvah of Mara, and the mitzvahs that were given in Mara, do they bind us today? Or were they mitzvahs that bound the Bnei Yisrael then? But as far as what we do and why we keep Shabbos, for example, it would not be based on Mara, but based on Sinai. Now, this Rambam seems to fly against another Rambam in Hilchos Melachim. The Rambam goes through the evolution of mitzvahs and says, this is number 32 in the sheet. Adam Rishon had six mitzvahs. The Rambam mentions what they are. Then he says, Noach was added Eiver Min HaChai, that makes seven. Comes Avraham Avinu, he had Mila. So on and so forth. Until Moshe Rabbeinu came along, and Torah was finished, completed through him. You read this Rambam at first glance, and you get the feeling that Tayag Mitzvos have a history that precede Matan Torah. Matan Torah simply was the cap that brought us to Tayag, but that which came before Sinai was already, you know, in place to instruct us already for generations, and we just simply got the rest of mitzvahs of Sinai. So, leave this question as an open question, exactly what to do with the two Rambams. I think there is a way to resolve it, but certainly you have to know how to deal with the two Rambams. We're going to go with the Rambam Pirsha Mishnayis, that the mitzvahs of Sinai were what make us, you know, bound by mitzvahs, not what came before. So, we would suggest that what the Maral is saying is that the mitzvahs of Mara did not bind us based on the fact that we were not yet, they were not mitzvahs of Torah yet. This is before Torah. And what about the mitzvahs of Parshas Bo? What about the mitzvah of Pesach? And all the mitzvahs mentioned, Isser Chametz, that also came before Sinai? So what about that? That also was not considered mitzvahs of Torah? Or should we start saying that this is like, before Sinai, it's like a twilight zone. There may be things that had to do with Torah. You can label as mitzvahs of Torah, and you can have mitzvahs that were not mitzvahs of Torah. And then you'll have to know, whatever it is, what is the nature of that mitzvah? There's a fascinating Gemara in Horis, source 34. There's a pasuk in Parashas Shelach that the Torah, that the Gemara interprets as a reference to somebody who violates the Isra Avodah Zarah B'Shogeg. And there's a special carbon that he has to bring, different than an ordinary chet that he does B'Shogeg. There's a special carbon that he brings for Avodah Zarah B'Shogeg. Now, it doesn't say in the Chumash that the case is Avodah Zarah. It says, V'chis Yishgu, if you make a mistake, V'lo Sase is called Mitzvah Se'ela. And then it says further, Eis Ko Asher Tziva Hashem Aleichem B'Yad Moshem, and Hayom Asher Tziva Hashem B'Holo L'Davo Seichem. You violate a mitzvah from the day that Hashem commanded an army. So how do I know we're talking about Avodah Zarah? So one opinion in the Gemara is, because it says, V'lo Sase Eis Ko Mitzvah Se'ela. What mitzvah is equal to all the mitzvahs of Avodah Zarah? So that's how we know the cases of Shigdas of Avodah Zarah. The other opinion, which the Gemara rejects, is Tana Rabbi Shmuel. Tana Rabbi Shmuel says, this you'll see here in, again, 34, from the day Hashem commanded and on, what mitzvah was said first? That every other mitzvah came subsequent to that mitzvah. What mitzvah preceded all other mitzvahs? The answer is, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That's the first mitzvah, everything came afterwards. And therefore I know that when the Pasuk talks about the mitzvah, that everything after that was subsequent to that mitzvah, it's a Avodah Zarah. Fact the Gemara, how could we say that? That's not pshat. The Ha'amar Mar, we all know the statement was, Esen mitzvos mitzdavu Yisrael b'mara. There were 10 mitzvahs that the Bnei Yisrael commanded in Mara. So clearly there were mitzvahs that preceded Anochi, the 10 mitzvahs of Mara. In other words, there's other mitzvahs that came together with Anochi at Mara, but Anochi wasn't the first one. Anochi could have been, you could say Avodah Zarah was given as Parsha Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, but it wasn't exclusively that alone that was first. There clearly were many mitzvahs that preceded the Anochi of Aseres HaDibros. And therefore, says Gemara, the best explanation is the other explanation, how we know we're talking about Shigdas Avodah Zarah. Frek the Briska Rav, a very simple question she does not answer. He says, I don't understand. The Gemara has a kasha from the mitzvah Samara. That's what the Gemara had to ask from. What about all the mitzvahs and parshas Bo? Right? What about Issa Chametz, Kares? It's all described in parshas Bo. HaKol says Alechem. So you have mitzvahs that preceded Anochi. What does Gemara pick on Mar? So this is create a big stir in many Mechabrim, you know, to try to answer Akasha the Risk of Rav, but he doesn't answer. Why does Gemara pick the mitzvahs of Mara and not ask from parshas Bo? But what one could begin to think is that when it comes to the mitzvahs of parshas Bo, they were indeed not mitzvahs of Yisrael. They were mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. And when it comes to mitzvahs of Mara, those are mitzvahs of Yisrael. The exact opposite, then, of what the Mara was positing. The Mara was suggesting that Mara was like mitzvahs of Bnei Noach, and maybe parshas Bo would have been mitzvahs of Yisrael. Maybe the exact opposite from the Gemara would seem the mitzvahs of Mara were mitzvahs of Yisrael that preceded Anochi. Mitzvahs of Chodesh Alechem had to be renewed, if you will, at Sinai, like the Rabban says in the Pirsha Mishnayis, and at the time they were not mitzvahs that bound us as Bnei Yisrael. So if that would be the case, why would that be so? Why would mitzvahs of Mara have more of a shaychus, more of a connection to Sinai than the mitzvahs of parshas Bo? Again, here too, one could think in a lot of different ways. I offer one, which I think is very, very interesting possibility. Rav David Cohn has this in his Sefer, one of his many Svarim. And that's the notion called Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah. It's a medrash in Parshas Tzav. It's a concept that we've all heard many times. Derech Eretz precedes Torah. What does that mean? That means Torah can only take hold, take root, if you have a certain basic sense of Menshechkeit, Derech Eretz. Torah comes in, picks up from there, focuses it further, sharpens it further, and brings it to the next level. But if you're lacking Derech Eretz, then all the Torah in the world somehow is going to fall short, because you have to have, you could say, a vessel to receive the Torah. The vessel is the notion of Derech Eretz. That's one way to think about Derech Eretz Kadmah Torah. So David Cohen wanted to say that the mitzvahs of Mara represent the concept of Derech Eretz Kadmo Torah. They lay the foundation for Torah. And he develops that idea, we don't have time fully to do so, or do so in the Sefer, that if you look in the Ramban and his commentary to Parshas Bishalach and the mitzvahs of Mara, the Ramban actually, after bringing the idea that these are mitzvahs, he says they're not really mitzvahs, they were not commanded yet, but they're told that they're going to be commanded. But then he goes on and says, Al Pipshat, Al Derech HaPshat, says, what happened in Mara was, they had to have some system in order to know how to relate to one another, how to relate to others who might come into their camp. They had to know ideas of tznius when they're in their, you know, in their tents with their family. And all of this was given over to them in Mara. Simply a sense of being civil. As a group here, they're going to go through the midbar. It's not going to be easy. You have to have some system in place that would allow you to be civilized and live in a civilized manner. Basically, Derech Eretz. So, Mara is connected to Sinai because it's Derech Eretz Kadmah LaTorah. Based on this, I wanted to suggest a possible interpretation of something we say in our davening every day before Kriya Shema. We have a bracha of Ava Rabba, which is we're imploring our Kadosh Baruch Hu to grant us, to enlighten us in Torah. But notice, we have some redundancy here. We start, we say, that means we're asking Hashem to enlighten us, to teach us. We go further, we say, again, to learn, to grow, to observe. We say further, why the redundancy here? Well, what does it mean when we say, for the sake of our forefathers who trusted in you? Who are we referring to? Who are the Avosenu? We would think it means Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But actually, according to the Rishonim, the Abu Dram and Rabbi Rav Yaakov mentioned before, they explain Avosenu is a reference to those who left Mitzrayim. Our forefathers who went out of Mitzrayim without enough provisions, Gam Seda Lo Asulahem, they didn't have food ready, but they trusted Lechtei Chacharai Ban Midbar, Yirmiyahu Navi tells us, the Eretz Lo Zeruah. They trusted in you and they followed you into the desert. If that's the meaning of Avosenu Shebatchu V'cha, let's take it to the next step. Batilamdem chukei chayim. What a chukei chayim. Perhaps it's Mara. It's the Ramban's idea in Mara. It's the notion of Derech Eretz. Shekadmo Torah. You can't start with asking for Torah. You got to start with Derech Eretz. Kein tchanenu slamdenu. Enlighten us with Derech Eretz, that we should act with Derech Eretz. And once we ask that, we go on to ask for Torah as well. So be one way to think about, again, why Mara has a special connection to Sinai, more so than the mitzvahs and parshas Bo. Of course, according to the Maral, we have a big problem. According to the Maral, it seems to be the other way around. The Maral says that the mitzvahs of Mara were mitzvahs of Bnei Noach, and it was actually, if anything, the mitzvahs of parshas Bo that were mitzvahs of Yisrael. And the Gemara would seem to ask the question from Mara, not from parshas Bo. So there is an interesting answer given by Rav Putner in Pachad Yitzchak, and Putner deals with these kinds of issues a lot in his Svarim. Question of when did Torah come into the world, what's called Torah, what's not called Torah, you know, these types of, Hilchas El Mashiach type of issues, you know, not necessarily Nogea Le Maisa, but conceptually trying to define the evolution of Torah. So he says an interesting thing. You notice, if you're going to say that the mitzvahs of Mara are Bnei Noach, how could you say that? That means it doesn't bind us today. What binds us today, as the Rambam says, is Sinai. But what does the Torah say in Parashas Veschanah? By Shabbos. Shom Moras Yom HaShabbos HaKadsha. Kasha Tzimcha Hashem Elkech. Like Hashem has commanded it. What does it mean, Kasha Tzimcha? Mara. So how can you say we are not bound by the commandment of Mara if the Torah itself is linking us back to the commandment of Mara? So, I mean, I can't have it both ways. And the Maral says that mitzvahs of Mara were Bnei Noach, and the Torah says you can observe Shabbos like I commanded you in Mara. So here you have to say the interesting thing. At the time that the mitzvahs of Mara were given, we were given mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. That mitzvah would not have had the potential to be binding for generations to come post-Matan Torah. Were it not for the fact that Torah itself, in the Tzeres HaDibros, in the Veschanan, indicate, I want you to know that you are bound by the mitzvah of Shabbos, not just from here and on, not based on this commandment, but based on the mitzvah that I gave you in Mara, Kasha Tzimcha. The Torah itself establishes a link backwards in time to the mitzvah of Mara. So based on the Torah validating the mitzvah of Mara becomes binding basically for the future. Were the Torah not to do that, that would have expired, if you will, and the mitzvah that would be binding for us would be the mitzvah henceforth from Sinai. But Torah doing this and creating a link back to Mara, the Torah is obviously linking us back to that tzivui. So the Rav Putner says, that may be the meaning of the Gemara in Horis. When the Gemara has a kasha, that you see there were mitzvahs that came before Mara, the Gemara came before Anochi, the Gemara doesn't mean just the fact that there were mitzvahs before Anochi, there were mitzvahs in Parshas Bo as well. The Gemara means specifically, how could you say this? There was a mitzvah of Aseres HaDibros that you can violate after Sinai, but in so doing you'll be violating the mitzvah of before Sinai. It's not that it was before Sinai and remained before Sinai. It's a post-Sinai mitzvah that has a connection to prior to Sinai, and that seems to be a question against what you're saying, that Anochi is the first mitzvah. As far as other mitzvahs of before Sinai, so far that was before Sinai. We have Anochi, that's the first mitzvah from Sinai. It's a new count. But as far as Shabbos is concerned, you have a mitzvah post-Sinai that traces itself back to before Sinai, so you can't have it both ways. Anochi is not first, because I have the mitzvah of Zohar or Shomor that the Torah says you can violate after Sinai, but in so doing, you're violating a tzivah before Sinai. That's, in a nutshell, what the Furna wants to do with that Gemara. Just to bring things maybe into a certain close, because as I said, the end of this is really not here, but at some point, you know, wherever you'll take this, really, because it's like a quarry, you know, you dig and you find mine, and you find diamonds, and then the more you see diamonds, the more you see there are more diamonds there. And, you know, Engel of itself, my Torah is a mukha min yam. What I think we're beginning to recognize is that there is a process of Bechiras Yisrael. It's not just a one-shot deal. You came here, you can freeze the picture, that is the point that we're chosen. Apparently, there is a tahawiyah, a process of Bechira. There was a Bechiras Yisrael in a certain way, if you will, with the Avos. Then there was a Bechiras Yisrael as a nation with Yitzias Mitzrayim. Then there was a Bechiras Yisrael that may be set in a Mara, because we're given mitzvahs, perhaps. And then there's a Bechiras Yisrael, of course, at Har Sinai. And what we're learning here is that even if at a certain point in time it hasn't yet come to a certain peak in terms of what implications of that mitzvah is, together with the fact that we're chosen as a mitzvah, and the mitzvah reflects a certain idea of our chosenness, but with time, the mitzvah evolves into something more than just what it was initially. Just as we saw, the exclusive relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so maybe it didn't come right away with Mara, it came only with the Man, or maybe it didn't come till Matan Torah, but the mitzvah was still given to us on one level. And then the mitzvah evolved together with our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which also evolved. And this is exactly the process that we have of Bechiras Yisrael. Rav Soloveitchik, Yosef Ben Soloveitchik, the Rav, in one of his famous drushes, talks about how the mitzvos of Mara, Rashi emphasizes that they were actually parshios that were written. At the time that they were written, he says they didn't have a Shem Torah to them. They were not a Chefzah Shel Torah. But he points out in Parshas Mishpatim, we read it in 2 weeks, the Torah tells us that Moshe wrote down mitzvos, and those mitzvos were part of a Sefer HaBris. Divrei Hashem, the Eis Kol HaMishpatim. What exactly did Moshe write down in the Sefer HaBris? And it's on this Sefer HaBris that B'nai Yisrael responded, Naseh V'nishma. Rashi says he wrote down, among other things, the mitzvahs of Mara. They were written at the right before Matan Torah, 4th or 5th of Sivan, according to Rashi. They were publicly read. What happened? They were already given as selections of Torah, and now they're written down again, and now there's a Kriyas HaTorah, and there's a Naseh V'nishma. So the Rav points out that when they were first given to B'nai Yisrael, they didn't have a Shem Torah. What happened? Over time, niskatshu, they were sanctified, v'hafchu, chefze shel Torah. So what do you see? The evolution of the mitzvah of Mara from not yet being chefze shel Torah to becoming chefze shel Torah. Rabbeinu Bachya LaTorah, in Parsha Shmos, talks about Moshe Rabbeinu's level of nevuah. It wasn't like he became the Avraham Avinu overnight. He was on one level of Navi, then he became more of a Navi and more of a Navi. And so it was, he says, in nature. The sun can't just shine right away in its full glory. It has to start, you know, little by little. The sun rises, little by little. And so it is with B'nai Yisrael, says Rabbeinu Bachya, the highlighted parts. Shechimcha HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'nesina satorah ma'at ma'at. Hashem got them oriented with mitzvahs, little by little. First, he says in Mara, interesting, he starts with Mara. And then he says from there, Eseres HaDibros. And even that, to some extent, wasn't the full measure of nesinas HaMitzvahs. You have the mitzvahs of Arvas Mov as well. And so a person has to recognize that you can't climb the ladder in one step. You can't jump to the top. You have to go one rung at a time. You have a Medrash in Shir HaShirim that also highlights this idea of process and evolution. You have the mitzvahs, Dan Pesach, Dan Mila in Mitzrayim. Pasuk Zachosi, Rayasi, Yonasi, Tamasi. Rayasi, Sheireyu, Osam, Bayam. They became friends with me in the Yamsuf. Yonasi, the Mara. My dove, that's Mara. Shemisham, Mitztavu, the Nitztainu, Bechal, Mitzvahs. That's when they commanded and became distinguished with Mitzvahs, and I told them like a dove. And finally, Tamasi, Shemitamu, Imi, Besina, with Nasa, the Nishma. The language of Rashi in Yevamos, our forefathers entered into the bris with Mila, Mitzrayim. Says Rashi, the Lashon of Rashi, Bimei Moshe, Kishe Yotzu Mi Mitzrayim, Vi Yotzu Michlal B'nei Noach, L'Kabel Toro Kabbatun Shechina. The sense of the words of Rashi is that it was a process. They left Mitzrayim, they are leaving the stairs of B'nei Noach to get the Torah. It's not like until they got the Torah, they are on one side of the line, they're B'nei Noach. Suddenly, instantly comes Mamre HaSinai, comes Geirus, and now they're Yisrael. It's not like that. There's a process. They've left the status of B'nai Noach to get the Torah. And coming back to that question of the Kiddush that we saw before in Abu Dram, another Rishon, the Orchus Chaim, says it in his way, which I think reflects also the notion of the process of Bechiras Yisrael. He asks, why are we not say Hashabach HaBanu on Shabbos? The Tiretz of the Tarek, the last source here, at Shabbos, he hadn't yet chosen us, mikol v'kol, entirely. Ki Shabbos b'mor nitan, kodem matan Torah. The Yom Tov nitnu achas shabbos habanu. Again, leaving aside the question of Pesach. and Shabbat Habana Nasalana was Torah, so Uba Haisa Habakhira Hashalema. And with Matan Torah was the full Bechira. Not that there wasn't Bechira before, but the full Bechira didn't come until Matan Torah. And that's why by Shabbat HaBana we say by Matan Torah, by Birchas HaTorah. But what do we say on Kiddush on Shabbos? Shekidshon b'mitzvosav, b'rach Shabbana, ki b'emes rach Shabbana, shtach on the Shabbos, it's ritzui, but the Bechira Shlema didn't come until afterwards. So, Mirth Hashem, taking these together, hopefully there's some food for thought. We should recognize the beauty of Shabbos, the relationship to the Lamb of Kaddish Baruch Hu, and never take it for granted. A good day, everybody.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Adler. Again, the Sefer is available for sale on the back table for $12.